Welcome to another episode of Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, and this week it's just me and a couple different people. You haven't heard one you haven't heard lately, and one you haven't heard for a year. So we are joined by Brandon today to talk about a couple regions and some upset picks. And next episode, we will have Daniel, who will be talking about the last two brackets and maybe picking some championships teams. So hope you enjoy these next couple episodes as we get started with March Madness coming up soon. And hopefully we'll have Cody back next week to our normal schedule, and we'll get back to the Grizzlies and the NBA in general. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the two episodes. Now we're here with Brandon Bradford, who, if you've listened to Free Basketball at all, you know he comes on once a year. This is his 1 year guest spot on Free Basketball, and that is to talk March Madness. This is one of our favorite things to do. So usually what we do is we talk about some upsets candidates who we might be looking for to pull off, you know, the Cinderella story that everybody's looking for and hoping to pick. And then who maybe a couple of our championship picks, maybe might not get there. We'll kind of see how time allows, but we're definitely going to do upsets. We're going to be talking two brackets, the Midwest and the East bracket. The East bracket is specifically for Brandon because diehard Memphis Tigers fan. So Daniel's going to join us here in a little bit, and he's a diehard Duke fan, but that's too bad for him. Brandon's here first. He gets to talk about the bracket. Daniel does not get the luxury of talking about his favorite team. But first off, Brandon, good to see you, man.
You too, man. Thanks for having me.
I know it feels like it's been a while since the basketball season has ended. I'm itching for basketball. That's probably why March Madness is great for me now, because going from coaching into the season, you're just not doing anything for like 4 weeks. Right. And then you've got March Madness, so you're in overload. Do you have that kind of thing, or because you're, you know, working at the school, you're always in it, you're fine still? You're not having that itch.
Going from 24/7, watching film, practice games, all that stuff, to doing absolutely nothing. Like, I don't know what to do with my life right now, so March Madness is great for me.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it. I don't want to keep you here too long. We'll kind of see how this goes, but when we start talking, we know that this can not bogged down, but it can go many different rabbit trails, because I already have a couple that have popped in my mind that I haven't prepped you for. We might get there if it happens, but we'll see. Let's start off with upset stuff first, because, you know, I'm a big fan of KenPom. A lot of people, if you're a betting person, you know KenPom, you have a subscription there, because the betting lines are basically mirror images of what KenPom says their predicted score will be for the game. There's not much difference. So KenPom has kind of become the universal stat people to look at. And, you know, if you've listened to us in the past, I like to use a lot of KenPom stats and filters to find some upset candidates. And so I'm going to give you some that I think are prime and give you kind of the reason behind them. But before we get into actually looking to the stats and maybe some teams that you should be looking for to pick for your bracket, Brandon, do you have a couple teams, like on Selection Sunday, they're giving out the brackets and the matchups, you thought, ooh, I like that one right away, and you've kind of filled it out in all your brackets, or one that you're looking, or a couple that you're looking to fill out?
Yeah. There's actually a few that are going to be really good for me. Obviously the Memphis draw for me, I thought we were underseeded, and the Memphis Florida Atlantic matchup is a big one. Obviously we know who I want to win that one, and I'll share my opinions on that later. But I thought that was an interesting draw. Another interesting draw I'm very intrigued by the game. It's not necessarily an upset game, but the Arkansas-Illinois 8-9.
Yeah.
I see Arkansas doing some damage, not just in that first game, but
knocking off a one seed?
Yeah. I'll share that with you later. I've got Arkansas going a little ways. And then I'm also curious to see Utah State and how they match up with Missouri.
Yeah.
Utah State. I only watched one game, and I can't even remember what game it was, but I was impressed with Utah State. I'm curious to see how they match up with like the SEC talent, and see if they can compete with it and do what they do against that. Because if they can, I think they can take on Arizona as well. Arizona is overrated, in my opinion.
Oh,
right. They're 28-6, and they're what in KenPom, like 10th?
Yeah.
But if Utah State can handle the pressure of the defense of these higher conferences, I think they could go a long way.
Ooh.
If they can handle the athleticism.
I like that you said that one, because we might be kind of thinking the same kind of line. Do you like any of the popular like 5-12 upsets? Like, I know a really sexy one is Drake over Miami. I know Miami has a injury to their big. A lot of people like VCU over St. Mary's. I mean, Charleston, San Diego State. Like, do you like any of those? I mean, or Roberts, obviously, in Duke. Do you like any of those kind of sexy 12-5 that everybody loves picking?
Yeah, I really like Charleston. I think they're legit, especially with the matchup with San Diego State. That's an upset that I see happening. And then that would put them against Virginia next round. But I really like the 5-12 upset of Charleston. I mean, they've only lost 3 games this season. They're a team that shoots the 3 ball, which is a good thing for the tournament usually. So that's the one that I like.
Yeah, I like that one a lot too. And what's weird about this tournament to me is I feel like I can find upsets all over the place that I really like, right? But this year, I know everybody's telling me that it's wide open. I just have a hard time finding a lot of upsets in these.
Yeah.
And the big reason is that is if you paid attention to conference tournaments at all, conference tournaments were wild. Yeah. I mean, you had 8 seeds making championships, stealing bids, like 5 seeds, which I know is not wild, but usually it's a 1, 2, or 3, right? And there's like SEMO is in the tournament as like a 10 seed or 8 seed, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And so these are just weaker teams, like the weakest or they're like mid-tier of these mid-majors who are already weak conferences, you know, having to go up as like a 13 or 14 seed. Yeah. So I'm just not finding, you know, a lot of value in a lot of these upsets than I normally do. Now, it doesn't mean that those weird upsets won't happen, because, you know, you discredit St. Peter's last year, and of course they went. But they had their defense, right? And one white dude with a mustache got hot, which may be kind of like the March Madness formula to begin with. Look for really good defense, and if they got a white dude with a mustache, you're probably good. That's not actually one of the things I look for in an upset candidate, but maybe that's what it should be. So moving kind of into the actual, because there's some like Louisiana going against Tennessee. I think everyone on this planet, besides Tennessee fans, is going to pick Louisiana,
right?
Because they don't have Ziegler, they don't have their guard, like they're just big and play defense. ULL is what I used, you know, when I used to live in Louisiana, that's what they called them, ULL. Now they try to call themselves Louisiana. That's the way they brand themselves now, but they'll always be ULL to me, Louisiana Lafayette. Everyone, I feel like, is picking that, and I just don't see it. Like, I watched Louisiana play in that championship game. It's all post. Like, Tennessee strength is defending that. And they shoot, Louisiana shoots a good percentage from 3, quote unquote, but they barely shoot 3s. And they're not even going to be open against Tennessee. So, like, those, I get why people think they're sexy, but I just don't see it. Now, a couple that are candidates that I can see. I have a couple different criterias. I'm not going to give maybe every single one, but, you know, a KenPom, it needs to be a good offense. They need to be able to hit the offensive glass to create extra possessions against these higher major teams because of the size difference. You know, you just need the extra possessions. They got to be able to shoot the 3, right? And they've got to play a little bit of defense. And they've got to be higher ranked in KenPom than what the NCAA tournament ranks them, like basically underseeded, like you're saying with the Tigers. Now, there are 8 teams that hit the criteria for that are ranked higher in KenPom than what the NCAA has ranked them. Unfortunately, three of those teams are very low, hardly hit half of the markers or below half of the markers that you would want for an upset candidate. There is five that hit the higher markers of what you're looking for to pull a quote-unquote upset that are also higher ranked in KenPom than what the NCAA tournament committee has ranked them. Those five teams, are you ready?
Yeah.
West Virginia, Utah State, and Utah State, just to tell everybody, Utah State has been an automatic pick for me in every bracket. Like, I've picked Utah State to beat Arizona in some brackets. I'm with you 100% on that. I like that team a lot. They play that five out. Now, I know it's a bunch of white kids, but they play four or five out, bomb from three. It's analytics. It's drive, get to the rim, and they're good at it. Or it's bomb away from three. And their coach, you might remember, was the head coach of UMBC, formerly, who knocked off a one seed, the only 16-1 in NCAA history. Now he's sitting here at a 10. I like it against Arizona. I think the matchup, if they can get by Missouri, I do like that matchup against Arizona with their big plotting, you know, with the plotting bigs. Yep. The only issue I have with Utah State is their game is in, let's see, I think they play in Orlando, and that travel, and it's like at 12 or 1 or something like that. So just the body clock, they have to play at 10:30 in the morning, their body clock time, you know, versus Missouri, who's used to that time. That's the only thing that I'm kind of worried about a little bit with this upset. Like, they could start slow, it doesn't matter to me. I'm automatically taking Utah State. The other three, Florida Atlantic. I know you don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn and Illinois. So you did talk Illinois against Arkansas, but I like Arkansas over Illinois for sure. That has been a no-brainer for me. And the Auburn one sucks because in most of my brackets, I've picked Iowa. Mm. But Iowa's defense is just so bad.
It's awful.
But Auburn, you just never know what you're getting with Auburn, right? And I'm a little stung. I'm feeling a little sting from last year of picking them as a 2 seed to make the Final Four, and then they lose to Miami in the second round. So do those five teams, any surprise there for you, or does that seem like right in line? And that's the thing with this right in line, that most of them are power conference teams, and they're 9 seeds, right? Yeah. It's not wild upsets that most of us would expect or want.
I picked all of those except for Florida Atlantic.
Yeah. Okay. You have all the other three that are on there that don't, you know, don't hit all the markers that I love is Nevada, Boise State, and USC. I hate USC. Now, I know there's connection with Boogie Ellis where I don't know if you're still supporting him, former Memphis Tiger, but he did leave you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're supporting. But Boise State, I've picked in most of my brackets just because. Nevada, I've picked over Arizona State because I hate Bobby Hurley and I'm just ready for him to get fired. He's the worst coach to watch in college basketball. So those are the eight that meet it. Obviously, there's going to be teams outside of that that don't hit criteria that just the matchup is great. Like I really enjoy Kent State's matchup against Indiana. And I'm just not a huge fan of Indiana. Kent State can play a lot, really good defense, and they've got two guards that can knock down shots with Sincere Carey as their point guard and a guy that I really like, Jalen Sullinger, which I hope everyone's going to enjoy. He's just a gunner lefty from three, small little 5'10 guard, but he's quick and he'll just pull it from anywhere. So you got to keep your eye on him. And then they've got a couple bigs that I think could hang around with Indiana in their post play. So it is kind of like a battle in the trenches. And Kent State, who's not a great three-point shooting team, like if they can get hot, if the defense can keep them in it. So I like that matchup. I know a lot of people are looking at the Furman matchup against Indiana. I mean, not Indiana, against Virginia, I believe. Let's see. Yeah, Virginia. Everyone, I think, is just kind of down on Virginia for how slow they are, how bad they looked. in that Duke game. I like Furman, but I don't see where they can hold up for the entire game. Because as soon as their best player, Slauson, gets in trouble, foul trouble, he's kind of out of it. And he's a guy who's a very emotional player. So, and I want to pick Providence over Kentucky because it's Kentucky, and I would enjoy it with the story with Bryce Hopkins coming back to beat the team that didn't want him and he transferred from last year. I just have a hard time seeing that one. Oral Roberts is the story everybody's talking about. They got that goofy, tall, white kid you remember that Memphis was recruiting or something like that.
Oh, he was on the team.
Was on the team?
I actually parked his car when I worked valet one time. he's a large human being.
He's a very large human being, but he's goofy and he's plotting, and he's not very mobile, I will say, but he will shoot threes. So I don't know if you're into that one over Duke, who is red hot, but I get the Max A. Smith story. Is there anyone, like, I know people are talking about sexy picks with Colgate, Iona, Drake over Miami. We talked about 12-5, like Charleston not being on there like you like. I mean, is that truly just a matchup thing with San Diego State with how slow they play? I mean, Charleston just senior heavy for you that you like over them?
That's why I like Charleston, because of the experience. It's going to, like, they played two different styles, San Diego State and Charleston. It's going to be whoever takes over pace of the game is obviously going to have control of the game. And usually tournament games, like, the teams that slow it down are at a disadvantage. So that's why I see Charleston taking that one.
Yeah. So if we were to make an official five, which here's the thing about picking upsets in your bracket, you need to have at least 6 to 8, because that's what happens every single year, is there's at least 6. I think the most is like 9 or 10. So if you average it out, it's about 7, I believe, is what is an average year for upsets. Now, if you truly believe that this is a wide open year where anything happened, maybe you take a couple more, 8, 9 picks of them. But I'm kind of leaning to this side where it's like the conference tournaments were a lot of heavy upsets, and which will correlate to the first round where we don't get that many upsets from big numbers. I think 1 or 2 could do it, but I think the 8-9 matchup and the 7-10 matchup is really where we're going to see the most. And so, like, for sure, 5, if you're going to pick upsets, you need to at least pick West Virginia, Utah State, FAU, we'll whisper FAU for Tigers fans, Auburn and Illinois. Like, that's where you need to be looking in your brackets. So we'll move on from the upset stuff, because we do want to talk about two brackets here. And we're going to start with the Midwest region. And I don't know how, you know, if we're going to deep dive into each of these, maybe as we go along in the bracket, but we're going to make picks as we go. So we'll start with the 1-16 matchup. That's Houston, Northern Kentucky. I don't know if you need to talk about it, if you need to say anything about it. Who do you have in yours?
Houston, obviously. Man, Houston's legit. I've watched them play the Tigers 3 times this year.
Yeah.
And the Tigers are playing the best basketball they have played in a long time right now. And Houston's without their best offensive player. Tigers are playing legit, and that we still struggled with them.
Yeah.
So I'm bought in on Houston. But yeah, they're not gonna have any problem with that first one.
Yeah. The 8-9, Iowa Auburn. This is one of the upset candidates. Are you going with Auburn or do you like Iowa?
I'm picking Auburn just because I like the faster paced teams. Auburn is known for being very inconsistent this year. So it's really just gonna depend who shows up, but I'm gonna risk it and take them first round.
A 5-12 Miami Drake, the sexy pick. I think this line opened at 4.5 and now it's down to almost pick them, maybe 1.5, 2.
Yeah, this is gonna be an awesome game.
I agree.
As much as it's not really a sexy pick, I'm taking Miami with this one. I think that's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, I think this is an awesome game. I'm really looking forward to it. I just think the shot making for Miami, even though they are missing their best big, At least as far as I've heard, I think it's just twisted ankle. He might be good by Thursday or whatever, but I guess it depends on the degree of that sprain. I didn't see what it was, but I just like Miami. I know they can bomb out and fail me very quickly, but I just like the shot making from their guards and Isaiah Miller, Wong, you know, all of those guys, Nigel Pack, that I've watched Drake and I get it. I really like their point guard. I think his name's like BJ Penn. Maybe that's a UFC fighter, but I know his last name is Penn. I really like him a lot. And I like Tucker DeVries, who's supposed to be a first round draft pick or could be a first round draft pick in the NBA draft. I just have a hard time with the sum of the parts beating the whole, beating Miami. But anyways, 413, Indiana, Kent State. I love Kent State. I love Kent State. I think this is a really interesting matchup too. It's just beat them in the post. What say you on this one?
I put down Indiana, but honestly, I know nothing about Kent State.
Yeah.
I haven't watched them at all. But that's also one of those games where I think it's going to be a good matchup though. Just looking at the records and where they are KenPom wise. I feel like that's going to be another good game.
Yeah. I'm interested by that game for sure, but I do have Indiana in my bracket as well, even though I love Kent State and I have a couple where I picked them, but whatever. 6-11. Iowa State versus the play-in Mississippi State Pitt. I guess first you should pick the play-in. Who's coming out of Mississippi State and Pitt?
I was going to first of all, that's a good matchup right there, Mississippi State and Pitt.
It's ugly.
Yeah.
It's an ugly game, but it'll be close.
Yes. Mississippi State's got a Memphis kid with a DJ, so I guess I'm going to go with them.
All right, Mississippi State. Now Mississippi State against Iowa State. This is ugly.
This is another just ugly. Another
first
ugly
to 40. One. First to 40 wins.
Right. honestly, this is kind of a throwaway game for me. And I think in my bracket, I actually picked Mississippi State going
okay.
on.
Okay. So you have Mississippi State advancing over Iowa State. Kentucky see it.
Didn't really think too long about that one because it's just a throwaway. But
yeah, because they're losing to probably Xavier next round anyways, right?
Right.
So to spoil that one, the 314 Xavier Kennesaw State.
Yeah, going back with that.
7-10, the Texas A&M versus Penn State matchup. I've had a really hard time with this one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm taking Texas A&M. I think they're going to out-athleticize them in that one.
Ooh. Yeah, this is weird because if you look at Texas A&M, you watch them visually, like, oh, they're like 6'8", 6'9 posts that just bruise you in the inside. And then you look at their stats, they're awful at shooting inside the paint.
Uh-huh.
They're just not a very good finishing team. And Penn State is more guard oriented and they bomb from three. They got a kid named Funk that I just love watching. Like he's like a 45 to 50% 3-point shooter. And if you're talking about upset candidates, like he hits a lot of the markers for an upset candidate with West Virginia, Utah State, those teams that we talked about. The only thing with them is that they're ranked a little bit lower in KenPom than what the NCAA tournament crew has ranked them, or it's about even. So it's an appropriate 10 seed for Penn State. I couldn't give them the final okay because of the little bit worse ranking statistically and analytically than where the NCAA tournament has them. But I really struggle with this one. Like my gut says Penn State, but you're right. The athleticism of Texas A&M can be overwhelming. And for those kind of bottom tier Big Ten teams. And this is one of those teams that was a 10 seed that made it to the final of Big Ten.
Yeah. It's just hard to pick a team that's lost 13 games.
Yeah, that's a very tough thing, just the inconsistency surrounding that. Texas Colgate, the 215. Are you believing in the Red Raiders? Everybody's starting to starting to pick Colgate a little bit, or starting to feel like Colgate could do it again. This will be 3 years in a row where everybody thinks Colgate can do it.
I got Texas.
No more said. I've got Texas too. Now, second round to make Sweet 16, Houston, Auburn.
I told you, I'm bought in on Houston.
Ooh.
Second Houston.
This game is in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing for Auburn. Yeah. So be kind of split on the home court there. Next game, Miami, Indiana. Matchups of 4-5s. They play in Albany, New York.
I'm going with Miami in this Ooh. One. Because of what you talked about earlier, the shot making. I do think that's a good matchup.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a fun game, but I see Miami taking that.
Yeah, I do too. I'm like, I know they're gonna burn me, but I just believe in what they can do. Like, they're number one team in ACC. They get to the finals still, and they only lose, and they still put a Duke team, like, they could have beaten a Duke team when they lost their best big man, who's not like a traditional big, right? Like, he's a stretch five, run all over the court, rebound, defensive guy. He's not a plodding, you know, sit in the post kind of guy. And they lost him in the first 2 minutes of the game. So I just think a team is strong if you win your regular season conference like that and get to the conference finals, and probably would have won if your big didn't go down the first 2 minutes of the game. That means something to me, even though it is Miami. So I have Miami here as well. It is an interesting contrast to styles, but yeah. This game will be lived within the 3-point line. You have Mississippi State versus Xavier here, the throwaway game that you had.
Yeah, I'm just gonna take Xavier.
Xavier. Yeah. So far we have 1-5-3 in this bracket, which is shaping up to be just like we thought. Might be more chalk this year. Texas A&M, Texas. Does the out athleticism prevail here?
Well, they're pretty similar.
It is weird, right?
They're similar teams, really. And it's two teams from Texas, like, bragging rights on top of that.
You're definitely picking a Texas. It's just, is there going to be two things at the end of that, or it's just nothing going to be after that?
This is one of those games where, you know, it's just like, you know, all these guys have been recruited by the same people. And
yes, they all know each other. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It's a really good tournament game. I think I picked Texas moving on from that. Okay. But I expect that to be a really good game.
Let's get to the Sweet 16 here. The 1-5 Houston, Miami.
I've got Houston once again.
Okay. The other matchup, the 3-2, you have Xavier versus Texas.
I'm going to take Xavier on that one.
Ooh, big Xavier fan?
Not really, but my
don't
family
trust
is,
Texas.
My family is born and raised Oklahoma Sooner, so we can't get along with that Texas stuff.
Horns down. Yeah. The 1-3, the Elite Eight. Who's making the Final Four out of here? This game is going to be in Kansas City, I believe.
Yeah, I've got Houston.
Houston.
Going to the Final Four.
All right, so Houston coming out of the Midwest. The only upset, or two upsets you have in this region, Auburn, the 9-8, and Mississippi State being that 11 seed from the first four that advances, which I think one team from that first four, that 11 seed, has advanced every single year since they've done it. So you had two options, and I hate Arizona State. Yeah. So if the other side's going to advance for me, it's going to be Nevada. But I like Mississippi State or Pitt over Iowa State for sure. So Houston coming out of the Midwest, I like that matchup. Let's get to the East here real quick. I know this is where you want to get your bread and butter here.
Yeah,
we'll have maybe a little extended more time for Memphis, but we'll kind of keep this moving. First, I didn't even write down the 16 seed in this bracket. But it's Purdue and the winner of Texas Southern and Fairleigh Dickinson. FDU, if you'd like to say. Who you have in this one?
Purdue, and it's going to be a blowout.
Purdue, blowout. Because they heard what everybody's saying about them after the Big Ten, right? Press them. Yep. They're cooked. They're done. Blah, blah, blah. They suck. Yeah, I think this will be a blowout, too. Now, 8-9. Do we have to talk about it? We know the pick.
Yeah.
But give us the game.
So tell me, what is Florida Atlantic's strength?
I would say that it's their depth. And the way they shoot the ball and just their consistent and efficient offense.
All right. So Florida Atlantic likes to shoot the ball a lot. They have not seen a defense like Memphis all year long. It's going to be a completely different game from what, like, they haven't seen anything like it. They've lost, like, in their three losses, they lost to MTSU. And I can't remember who the other ones were. But lower mid-major teams are who they lost to. It's a different level of basketball than what they've seen. They haven't been tested all year. And those long contested shots are going to turn into long rebounds and Memphis being able to run and go, which is where they thrive. I don't think the only teams that make Memphis struggle are the teams that control tempo, and they're not going to be able to do that. So that's why I see Memphis taking that.
Yeah. The other two losses for them were Ole Miss, which was at the beginning of the year. So it wasn't the Ole Miss late, which we know was a tire fire. Yeah. And the other one was UAB, who I know is one of our personal favorites because we love their guard, Jelly Walker. And I had picked them last year to upset. Oh, who was that? Who was that in the first round? I can't remember. Oh, it was Houston, actually. I picked them to upset Houston in the first round. And that was just a bad matchup for them.
And what's it with UAB and these funny named guards? Do you remember that dude, Squeaky Johnson? Bro, he was like one of my favorite players.
Wasn't that like UAB as well? That's throwback right there. That's throwback. That's where the guy who just got fired from St. John's, that's where he, Mike Anderson, is that his name? That's where he was, I believe. Look, this matchup to me, I think Conference USA is one of the better mid-majors, right? And I love the guard play that they have. They are young. Like, their two best players are sophomores. Like, they've got room to grow. I think what happened here was a screw job by the committee, because I think either Memphis or FAU is beating an 8 or a 9 from a power conference. And I think both are actually teams that were risky to upset a 1 seed. And so their solution was to pair them together. At least we get rid of one of them. If one of them knocks off a 1 seed, that's okay. We got three other blue blood 1 seeds still in play. So to me, this is by far my favorite matchup of the entire first round. This game is so even to me. With Kendrick Davis with his shot making, DeAndre, I keep wanting to call him DeAndre Jordan because he's probably about as old as DeAndre Jordan. But the shot making in this game from the guards and with Kendrick and, you know, the guards with Memphis, I hate that they're matched up. Because I think either one of them would win their first round game if they were matched up against anybody else, and have the potential of beating the 1 seed in the next round. Like, I think FAU or Memphis could both beat Purdue. Like, I truly believe that. And so I think that them pairing them together was just a complete disservice. And the committee saying, screw you to both of you, because both teams are underseeded to me.
Yeah.
Like, they just are. Like, FAU should probably be a 7. Tigers could be a 6. Like, it sucks that it's happening in the first round, because these are two teams that I think could make the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. So I know your pick is Memphis. Any other kind of like closing thoughts that you're looking for, keys for Memphis before we move on?
Man, Memphis has just been playing, like I said earlier, like the best basketball they've played. And if they continue that rolling, like they're ascending at the right time. I'm hoping we can do it for 5 more games, you know. but Kendrick, DeAndre has been playing out of his mind in the tournament. I mean, you saw him and Kendrick both go for over 30. With 40 piece Tulane.
Don't bring it up.
Man, we're just playing really well. And also the fact that we've got all those older guys and the experience is there on top of that. Yeah. So it's just a good combination.
Yeah. And they do play in Columbus. So I don't know if the travel matters at all. I mean, Purdue's got to do the same, probably not as much to the degree as Memphis, but I don't think that would be an issue at all. But the next matchup, the 5-12, the other sexy 5-12, Duke Oral Roberts. Are you believing in it, or you've got Duke who's riding high, kind of like the Tigers right now?
Oral Roberts is really good, but Duke, like you said, Duke's on a roll. I pick Duke.
Okay.
But I'm excited about that game. I'm curious to see how Oral Roberts faces up with them. But if Duke continues to play like they have been the last week or two, I see them advancing there.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you on that one. The 4-13, Tennessee, Louisiana. Everybody's picking it. Everybody's out on Tennessee. Is this a throwaway game for you, like Mississippi State?
Honestly, I just don't think Tennessee's that good without their key players.
Ooh, so you got Louisiana?
I did pick Louisiana.
Wow.
Also, I mean, it's just screw UT, you know? And the fact that they got a 4 seed, too, just made me angry. So, I picked Louisiana. I think Tennessee's just ready to get the season over with. Everybody injured, and they're descending right now at the wrong time.
Sounds like Rick Barnes. he probably needs to be Jim Boeheim'd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The 6-11, Kentucky Providence, another super interesting matchup. I my gut has said Providence as soon as the bracket came out, but I can't find enough behind it to where I can actually pull the trigger on it. Are you more gun shy on that, or are you for sure Providence, or do you believe in this Kentucky team at all?
Man, in one of my brackets, I know I picked Providence. Cause like you said, it was first thing I just saw that matchup. I was like, boom. I do think the SEC teams got ranked higher than what they should be.
Okay.
But like you said, both teams are 21-11. Look at their schedules. On paper, obviously Kentucky should win here. Let me look at the bracket I'm going with right here. I've got Providence picked.
Okay.
But it's very dangerous because of the matchup in the next game.
Yeah.
But I'll stick with my first pick. I'll go with Providence here. And if Kentucky beats them and then goes on to win the next one, whatever. We're all going to be burning our brackets by then anyway. So,
no, all of these picks are 100%. We're not missing one. 3-14, Kansas State, Montana State.
I'm going with Kansas State in that one.
The 7-10, Michigan State, USC.
This is going to be a good, bad game. I'm going with USC. Boogie Ellis going to take over and get them at least one.
I would have thought USC at first, but they're starting to have this kind of piling up injuries. And their strength is defending inside, like the two, right? Yeah. But the thing is, Michigan State's terrible at that, and they're one of the best teams at bombing threes. Yeah. So it truly is going to be like, can USC score enough points if some of their guards are out or unhealthy? Is right. Michigan State going to be able to hit enough threes? This is a really interesting, like you said, good, bad game.
Yeah. But and I think Boogie is good enough to take over a game by himself.
Okay.
And that's what I want to happen anyway. They can get that one win because they ain't making it out of the next round anyway. So, I would like to see Boogie go out with one good game.
Yeah. I will say a caveat. In most of my brackets, I have picked Michigan State. And in a handful, I have picked Michigan State to beat Marquette. I know that's, I don't know. It's just if you believe in Marquette or not. And I believe in Marquette, but Michigan State could just catch fire from three. And Marquette kind of matches up with them size-wise.
Yeah.
So it's not like an overwhelming difference, even though I like Marquette's guards better. Like, it's Tom Izzo. You just never know what can happen in that 7-2 matchup when it's guards versus guards, you know. Right. But the next round is to make Sweet 16, the one seed versus the eight, Purdue-Memphis. Everybody's saying Purdue's in trouble.
If Memphis is going to beat a one seed, this is the one seed they're going to beat.
So is that your pick?
Yeah, I'm going Memphis.
Memphis, Sweet 16 for the first time in what? 13 years? 15 years?
But I see Memphis is the team that could speed up Purdue, like everybody's been talking about. That's their weakness. If that's the only advantage Purdue's going to have is size, which is the only advantage they have on everybody in the country. I think Memphis is good enough to speed them up, which plays into Memphis's hands and consistently score enough to, I think they can take them down.
Yeah, I think you take Zach Edey away from this Purdue team. Where are they at?
Yeah.
Are they even in the tournament? Duke, Louisiana, the 5-13.
I think Duke's going to keep on rolling.
Oh, Memphis Duke. Man, have we ever had that matchup?
I don't think so. I'm excited about it, though.
Now you got Providence, Kansas State.
This is the one I said might burn me, because I think if Kentucky beats Providence, I think they can beat Kansas State.
Yeah.
But I don't see Providence beating Kansas State. So I'm picking Kansas State here.
Kansas State, who started off so strong and then has kind of just fallen back. I think they're a little overrated for what they're seeded.
Yeah.
I think they're given credit for how good they were early, but they're just one point guard. Right. And I have Kentucky here. I just really like Kasan Wallace, their point guard, who I think might be the next Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. And Kansas State is one guard. Kasan Wallace is going to just swallow him whole. Maybe bad phrasing. But I have Kentucky here actually making Sweet 16, which I hate because they could lose to Providence very easily.
Yep.
USC versus Marquette for you. Oh, did we even talk about Marquette, Vermont?
No, I didn't.
I just skipped right
over. You can go ahead and put Marquette there.
USC Marquette.
I'm bought in on Marquette.
Okay.
I think Cam Jones is a tournament guy, and he's gonna go off, and I just like Marquette as a tournament team, so I got them there.
Yeah, Cam Jones, it's nice to see him killing other people besides us,
right?
Because
he's the only player. He's the only player we've ever coached against where it's just like he's gonna get his. Like,
yes,
there's nothing you can do about it.
Like, we're working as hard as we can, using every trick in the book to get it within five. And he's like, okay, that's enough. And then he goes on his own. Then he goes on his own 17-0 run. And there's just nothing you can do about it. Sorry to bring that up if former players are listening. The 8-5 Memphis Duke.
Man, that'd be exciting, wouldn't it?
Would it?
This is where I had the Tigers trail ending. I really hope we can get there. I mean, that Memphis got the toughest draw of anybody in the tournament. Like, how are we an 8 seed? And then you're gonna match us with the best 9 seed possible.
Yes.
And then we're playing a 1 seed. Like, it's yes. And then you're looking at Duke if you win that. Like,
yes, the hottest team in the country, or one of the hotter teams in the country.
So
that's what I'm saying. Like, they paired Memphis up with red hot path teams. Like, yeah. FAU is red hot. Yeah. Purdue's not red hot, but they just won the regular season and conference tournament. Yeah. Then they're playing Duke, who's ultra red hot. Yeah. Like, it's just the committee screwed both Memphis and FAU on purpose.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
They salty about that James Wiseman.
They still mad about that James Wiseman. He played 3 games. Now the Kansas State, the 3 seed versus Marquette, the 2 seed.
I got
Marquette. Getting, okay, we're getting Marquette, Duke. Oof. This is a matchup right here.
Yes.
Now it is a 5 seed versus a 2 seed. Who you got in this one?
I got Marquette.
Marquette, Final Four.
Yep. I can't wait.
And we haven't even talked about probably their best player, which is actually that Tyler Colic kid.
Yeah.
Really smooth lefty guard. They just, it's a typical Shaka Smart team without the, you know, pressing. Like, he has the actual guard play now.
Right.
He doesn't have to do all the, you know, pet pressing to kind of create possessions. Right. They're just efficient on their own. So for you, with the Midwest and the East, your Sweet 16 teams, which I guess it'll be 8 for you. Houston, Miami, Xavier, Texas, Memphis, Duke, Kansas State, Marquette. You've got 1 seed below a 5 making the Sweet 16, or your own personal for these two, and it's our own 8 seed Memphis Tigers.
Yeah.
Your final 4 teams out of these 2 brackets for you are Houston Cougars and Marquette.
Yep.
I think that's a pretty solid bracket, because I just, like we talked about at the beginning, I just don't see as many upsets as people are saying.
Yep.
And I think this could go very chalk.
Could I go ahead and tell you my other Final Four teams?
Yeah, give it to me.
I won't give away all the picks, but
yeah, give me the round out your Final Four.
It's not, like you said, like, it's not too exciting. In the South, I got Alabama. Yeah. So Alabama and Marquette.
Love it.
On the other side, I've got Houston. And are you ready?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Arkansas. It's not
No! No, you didn't.
I did.
Oh,
I
went there. Arkansas! You got 2 SEC teams?
Yep.
That's wild.
It's all about the path, man.
So you beat Kansas second round, and then who you played in Sweet 16? Like, UConn?
Yep.
And they beaten them again after last year?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the bottom, are you just like
Gonzaga?
Gonzaga. Oh, okay. So it's like the exact same path for Arkansas last year.
Yep.
Just extended. That's interesting. That's an interesting point that you bring up. I had Arkansas beating Illinois for sure, but Kansas I have just advancing.
Like, I don't know, man. I am not sold on Kansas. Like,
get it. I get it. Especially, I mean, with stuff with the coach and players turned ankles and kind of banged up, limping in. I mean, they lost to Texas by 20.
They get, like, when they lose, they lose.
That's true. I mean, they lost to, like, TCU by 23 or something at home.
Yes.
I'm not sold on them. But you know that it's a big path thing. Like, the path is a big deal, which is why, like, Arizona, I think, has a really easy path to the Elite Eight. UCLA Gonzaga, I think, has a pretty favorable path. UCLA's got a very favorable path to at least the Sweet 16. Then who knows between Gonzaga and TCU if they don't get upset first. It's just... The path is a big deal. I would take Houston all the way, because I think that path is the easiest of anybody's. But if there's huge question marks with Marcus Sasser going through, you know, groin stuff can really hinder a guy for a long period of time. They could be out by Saturday or Sunday if he's not back. So if you're telling me path, like I'm looking at Texas Houston. Like I think that's an inevitable Elite Eight matchup. Yeah. But I get why Arkansas would have that path. So I like it, man. Any other kind of final thoughts you want to add to these two brackets or the tournament in general before I let you go?
Memphis got screwed. Tennessee ranked too high. The committee can suck it.
We could potentially have a Tennessee Memphis matchup in the Sweet 16. Does that get you a little excited? Tickle you a little bit?
I would love to blow them out in the Sweet 16.
Well, Brandon, thanks for coming on, man. That's the East and the, what was it? East and Midwest bracket, and talking a little bit about upsets. So this was your one time a year. Can't wait to see you on this podcast in 364 days.
I'll mark it on the calendar.
I appreciate you being on, man. And I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Thanks for having me. I'll see you.